Welcome to Meet Your Neighbor, the podcast that highlights the people and stories that make Westbrook Village a truly exceptional community. I'm your host, Steve Merrilla, local realtor, neighbor, and proud member of this vibrant community. Each episode, we sit down with residents to learn about their careers, life experiences, and what brought them to Westbrook Village. It's a chance to connect, share, and celebrate the unique journeys that shape our neighborhood. Thanks for tuning in. And now, let's meet your neighbor. I'm excited to introduce our first guest, my good friend and all-around great guy, David Sterling. David has an interesting journey that took him from growing up in California to retiring right here in Westbrook Village. And I can't wait for you to hear the unique way in which he chose where to move his family to. It's a great story. Let's dive in and meet your neighbor. Hello, David Sterling. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
You know, gosh, we have talked about doing this for probably 6 months.
Has it been that long?
Maybe. Well, it was the pool. So I know David from Westbrook Village Pool and then Westbrook Village Pickleball. And I had told David I was getting into the real estate business.
And to which I said, that's very cool.
Yeah. And then he didn't say anything after that. You kind of let me just hang out there. And I will tell you that that's been the response from most realtors is, oh, great. You're not really going to do it. And why would you? And like Mark Harmon, another neighbor of ours, he's a realtor. And he said, don't do it. And then I said, no, I'm serious about it. I'm listening to podcasts. He goes, oh, you're listening to podcasts. And then I, you know, did it.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I first listened to you talking about, you know, the direction you wanted to go, I felt like you were a good fit. And you had a lot of energy. You were focused. You knew you wanted to get into real estate.
I felt like it. I don't think I could have done it when I was younger. I don't think I was mature enough because there's a lot of peaks and valleys in this business. And I'm new to the business, but it's fun. Until I got my first check a couple weeks ago, I always said it's the funnest business I've ever done and not got paid for.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, the other thing is, and we've both experienced, when you're younger, you're not taken seriously enough.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, especially if you're dealing with people that are a bit older, they just kind of look down to you. And, you know, selling homes, my gosh, I mean, that's their number one investment in their life.
Right.
And they want to trust the person that they're working with.
Yeah. But, so, Dave, you have a big history in real estate. That was your main career, right? Correct?
Yeah.
Tell me how you got into it.
Well, actually, I was a general contractor first.
Okay.
But before I go into that, I got to tell you, I was on my way to the bank today, and I showed you this roll of dollars, right?
Right, yeah.
And these are, we've decided this is Pocahontas on a U.S. dollar coin.
Right.
Right. Well, I've had that thing for 30 years, right?
Really?
Well, I've been waiting for it to go up in value. And yesterday, I finally looked it up, and you know what that's worth? Every one of those coins is worth a dollar.
That is incredible.
That is it.
Great investment.
Yeah. Oh, well. Now, Bitcoin is another subject.
Bitcoin is a little more aggressive.
But anyhow, I started it with a family business. My father was a general contractor. My grandfather was a general contractor. And I did most of my work where I grew up, which was in L.A.
Okay.
Great time back in the 70s and 80s.
What was that like growing up in L.A. during period?
It was fantastic.
Oh, I bet.
The music. I mean, I would open up the newspaper because, you know, we didn't have computers and internet. Anything that we had, what we have today, that dials you in immediately. So we would look up, you know, Whiskey A Go-Go and, you know, places like that. Where were the Birds going to be playing, or Crosby, Stills and Nash, and, you know, all those great bands. So it was a wonderful time. It was easier to get around. Now it's almost impossible to travel across L.A. in less than half a day.
Oh, I can't imagine what it was like.
Traffic's pretty bad. But anyhow, I pretty much worked for 25 years. I built custom homes, apartment complexes, industrial buildings. So I ran the gambit of just about everything you could build.
Sure.
But then just got to a point I was wanting a change. There was something telling me, you gotta get out of this, and you gotta not only get out of it, but go someplace else.
Oh, really?
So my wife and I at the time had two little boys, and we started kind of moving our way out of LA, and we moved to a bedroom community about 2 hours outside of Los Angeles in Riverside County. Found ourselves on a gated community with a private, beautiful ski lake.
Oh, wow.
And I just built up a business building waterfront homes.
Okay. So you were still, at this time, you're still working general contracting, building homes. Yep. Nice.
But still trying to figure out what I wanted to do after that. But, you know, I had a good run for about 8 years.
Yeah.
I built, back then, you'd build a 3-car garage, and it was designed to have a ski boat in the third bay.
Oh, neat.
So it was very unique. Yeah. But anyhow, we finished up there, and we moved to Wyoming, where we lived for a couple years. I did a little developing there, and the market turned, and we really had to just look at each other and say, you know, we got to do something to support our family.
How old were the kids? What year was this?
This was 96, 95, okay. 96.
All right.
Yeah, so 30 and years ago.
30 years ago, and your kids were just young then?
Yeah.
Okay.
3 and 7.
Okay, so, and you hit the downswing, and you're like, what are we going to do? So I bet you felt good you had a good partner.
I had a tremendous partner. But, you know, it you're right. It's tough when you're down to zero, you know, and you have debt.
And you have three mouths to feed besides yours.
And a large dog. But anyhow, we finished up there, and this is a true story, Steve.
Yeah.
We pulled out a map, and we really were at that point where we're deciding, where are we going? We're going to
really?
Move. Yeah, we put our house on the market. I built a custom home in Wyoming. It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter how beautiful your home is if you don't, you know, pay your bills can't pay your bills every month.
Right.
So we took the map out. We thought, well, maybe we'll go back to L.A. And then the other thought was, my wife was originally from Seattle, and she said, you know, maybe we should think about moving to the Pacific Northwest. So I said,
wow,
I'll tell you what. I'm going to cover my eyes, I'm going to spin around once, and then I'm going to put my finger down on the map. And whichever area is closer, that's where we're going to move.
Okay.
And it was close to the Pacific Northwest.
Really?
And right then and there, we decided we're moving to Seattle.
Huh. When? How long did you spend in Seattle then?
Oh, my gosh. 26 years.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where our boys really grew up.
Sure.
We lived across the street from a beautiful lake. And we had a private beach, and we always knew where the kids were.
Sure. Nice.
And we knew where all their friends were, too, because they'd come and hang out. And it was just great times.
I have to think, knowing you, that your house was kind of the house in the neighborhood that everyone hung out at, because you love being with your boys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it just seemed normal.
Yeah.
It also seemed normal that the pantry was quite often bare after they made their move through the house.
Sure.
But let's see. So when we moved to Seattle, and I started, I put a resume together, and I read it, and I went, wow, I'm quite the builder and developer.
Right.
And so I decided, well, I'll reach out to some big companies and see where that takes me. And it took me nowhere. Reason being, I wasn't a company guy.
Sure.
I was an independent contractor.
Yeah.
And they needed a yes man.
Yeah.
And that wasn't me. You know, I'm a free thinker, change things on the fly for what I think is the better way to go. And so I didn't fit into that corporate mold.
How were you back in the construction business on following plans?
Oh, I mean, great. Okay. Yeah.
So you would, if you had a blueprint, you'd stick to it.
Yeah. I mean, I took art classes in architecture and design.
Sure.
And so I understood that.
Yeah.
So we're in the middle of buying a house. We were able to scrape some money when we left Wyoming. And so we had enough for a down payment. And that was about it.
Yep.
And during the process of purchasing our home in Seattle, I was connected with a real estate agent who I thought was pretty good.
Yep.
Until we got close to the end of the transaction. Closing was about a week away, and he was nowhere to be found. He took off on vacation and didn't tell anybody.
Oh, my.
And then the lender notified me that the interest rate was changing and we needed to do something about it quickly to lock it in. So I ran down to the real estate office, went to the front desk, asked a gal for an addendum so that I could write in, you know, that we wanted to lock the rate. And she said, hold on a second. And she went and she got her broker, and the broker came out and he said, well, can I help you? And I said, no, I know what to do. He goes, how do you know? And I explained that I'd been in real estate construction and development and did many, many, many contracts.
Sure.
So he gave me the addendum. I wrote it up. We got it submitted and I locked my rate. But in the meantime, this broker said, are you interested at all in maybe becoming a real estate agent? And I said, well, that doesn't sound like a bad idea.
No, you already know it.
Yeah. So I jumped in with my wife. We both got licensed through this company. And 6 weeks later, we were licensed real estate agents.
Oh, both of you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we were, when we lived in Wyoming and sold properties there that we developed, we connected with a husband-wife real estate team who we still talk to today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're great folks. And we just kind of copied their plan, their footprint, if
sure.
you will.
Yeah.
But in a way, you know, it doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
But Vicky and I had some good mojo together, and we put together a good business. She was able to, at the beginning, she sold real estate as well, but we needed more time spent with our boys.
Yeah, so, I know she takes that pretty serious.
Yeah, so she switched her role and became my transaction coordinator
and
office manager. And that allowed her to be at home and just,
right.
you know, rule the roost.
Was there any, conflict or times when your coordinator dropped the ball and you had to have a heart-to-heart with Vicky?
No, but I was told several times that I should probably go leave, go talk to some people and get out of her hair.
Sure, yeah.
Go let her do her job.
Yeah, go generate some more business.
Because we don't know any people that are micromanagers, do we?
Got you.
So anyhow, it blossomed into a very good business. I connected with some builders up in Seattle, became a site manager for many, many sites. So I worked new construction. Probably 75% of my business until 2007
sure.
was generated that way.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden the bottom fell out with the mortgage meltdown.
Yep.
And so we kind of had to regroup and figure a different way of doing business. So I went back to the drawing board and decided that I needed to connect with people who I had worked with over the past few years and see if they could help me grow my business.
Yeah. Did you do a good job along the way of keeping files on all your clients?
Absolutely.
Keeping in touch? And
yes.
I mean, I know naturally you would just keep in touch. I think you're like me. I just like to call people and see how they're doing. I have friends that I haven't seen in 20 years, but I call them probably every 2 months just to say hi.
That's key.
Yeah.
Yes, Vicky kept a really good database. You know, it was back then, there weren't all the systems that exist today, but we were lucky we found one and it was able to help us track our database, past clients. And we developed quite a referral-based system.
Huh.
And that's really what took off from 07 until really when I pulled back about a year and a half ago.
Okay. So are you still currently selling real estate?
I'm a licensed broker in the state of Washington. We brought in our older son into the business 6 years ago, and now he knows way more than I do.
Sure.
But I still consult. So
okay.
I call myself semi-retired now.
Sure.
So I'm consulting with him. In fact, on the way over here to your office,
yeah.
I got a call from a potential listing.
Okay.
And nice. We had a nice little chat, and you know, that's going to roll into a listing in the next couple of weeks.
Isn't it fun? I mean, I had my first transaction and it was a family from Minnesota and they were renting in Scottsdale and they said, oh, you're a realtor. Maybe we should think about buying. And I'm going there tomorrow, and I can't wait to see what they've done with this house, because it's their home. They're going to have Christmases there. Now their kids can come down, especially being in Arizona. It's such a it's a neat community to watch when you sell a home, because it's a vacation spot for the rest of their family.
Sure.
It's a, I mean, that, it's very rewarding. But do you have any, you've got to have a good story about one of your favorite or most least favorite transactions. Do you have a story of something that either went wrong or went so right?
You know, what comes to mind is a good story. I really didn't have any bad stories, you know. Did we have difficult clients? Sure.
Sure.
You know, but the, you know, majority of people that I've worked with, it's been a joy.
Yeah.
So I met a fella through the advertising. Actually, now that I think about it, he was a referral from our lender.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, he didn't end up using our lender to do his transaction.
Okay, yeah.
And
that happens.
Through that process, I met a new lender who I ended up developing a relationship with, and we have been working together now for about 9 years.
Okay, nice.
So going back to meeting this client who was referred, he is from Nepal. And the interesting thing there is, I didn't know that there was a really large community, Nepali community, in Seattle.
Okay. I didn't know that either.
No. And I worked with this fella. We had a great relationship, terrific family. And then within 2 weeks of him closing on his house, which was great success, you know, it was easy, there weren't any complications, he called me up and he said his brother needs a house. Well, it just took off from there. It ended up that he's like the godfather of their community.
Huh.
And so anytime somebody needed a home, they'd reach out to him and he'd reach out to me. And so since that time, probably 50% of my annual business was through the Nepali community.
Oh, wow. That is, who would have thunk?
And the next thing I know, I'm going to all of their baby showers and weddings. And, you know, they'd recognize me. I mean, I was embarrassed. I mean, I didn't think I really did anything. But we had a great relationship, and we still do.
So you have a little status in their family, probably, a little corner in their hearts.
Oh, yeah. Well, next week, I'm flying back to Seattle to do a little consulting with our son. And then we're going to spend 2 days driving around, knocking on doors of our Nepali people.
Oh, really?
And just, you know, we do that every few months.
Wow. So you'll go back door knocking. And in that community, do you know most of the people?
Yes.
I mean, does David Sterling resonate with these people?
I mean, I get calls from people over the past few years, and, you know, they just start talking to me like they know me.
Right.
Yeah, it's because other people in their community, you know, share who I am and what I've done for them.
And your good experience. I mean,
it's been a blessing for sure.
Yeah, you know, we knew each other personally. I didn't really know your history of your career. But I knew that we both like to talk. And of course, we're on a podcast, so that's great. That works out well. But it's also, I like customer service. I like to make people smile. I like them to feel good. And this is the perfect industry for it. I find it so rewarding.
And it's such a great challenge, because there are so many moving parts, right?
Right. Oh my gosh. I mean, I can't believe it takes 20 documents in SkySlope to close a deal, but that's
day one.
Yeah, that's day one. Yeah, it is. It's fun. I'm sure Vicky spent a lot of time saying, hey, I need a signature. I need this. I need that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to. I can't wait to get a coordinator. But let's talk a little bit about Westbrook, because this podcast is about neighborhoods. It's your neighborhood podcast. What's your favorite thing about Westbrook? I mean, there's a lot going on there. I love that community.
Well, I'm getting known for my pickleball prowess, right? So I'm head over heels hooked on pickleball. So that's, as you know, that's what I enjoy the most.
That's your addiction, yeah. How many years have you been playing pickleball?
10 years. Yeah, and I didn't even start here. I started in Seattle, you know, where the game was invented.
Right.
We purchased our home in Westbrook not even knowing there were pickleball courts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We originally had an offer on a home in Scottsdale.
Okay.
At the time, 2012, 2013, many of our friends up in Seattle decided, why don't we go get a vacation home in Arizona? The prices were right. The weather's great. And, yeah, and people are getting tired of the rain.
Do you miss the rain is what I was going to ask.
Exactly, exactly. So several of our friends purchased, and they, for whatever reason, were all focusing on Scottsdale.
Yeah.
So really at the beginning of our experience trying to discover the Phoenix area, we spent a lot of time in Scottsdale.
Okay.
So that's where we put an offer on a home in a community where one of our friends actually had purchased 5 or 6 years prior.
Right.
And that's where we thought we were going to live. Well, we went through the whole process, and guess what? The inspection failed.
So shocking.
Well, in a big way.
Okay.
And I wasn't going to buy the house unless the seller made significant repairs.
Okay.
The seller said no.
Right.
No, you can buy the house as it is and fix it up yourself. To which I said, I don't think so. And we pulled out of that transaction. So we went back to the drawing board and decided, why don't we look outside of Scottsdale? Why don't we decide what it is that we really want?
Right. Don't tell me you took a map out and spun around. I'll believe it once. I'm not going to believe it twice.
No, we didn't do that. But what we did do is we each took out a piece of paper and wrote down the top three things that we wanted in a community or, you know, in a location.
I like the way your mind works.
And yeah. Surprisingly, we both had the same number one answer. We want to live on a golf course.
Oh, all right.
Right? Yeah. So that guided us towards Westbrook.
So let me ask you, though. You both wanted to live on a golf course. You're not a golfer.
I am a golfer.
You are a golfer?
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Okay. Well, I can't judge you by sitting here.
You don't ever hear me saying, hey, I got a couple birdies yesterday.
Right. No, I never hear you complaining about your swing or your back, so I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I played a lot when I was in the real estate business.
Okay.
Yeah. Many of my friends from the office were golfers, and we always took a day or two off. And
sure.
That's what we did up in Seattle. Some beautiful golf courses. So what happened was we purchased on a golf course. In fact, the home that we decided to buy, which took us 24 hours to commit to, sold before we could get in touch with a realtor to purchase it.
I mean, is that the time when everything was just going so fast?
It was. It was actually 2014.
Huh.
So, and then it was really quite odd that I happened to check we were looking on Redfin. I'm a licensed managing broker here in Arizona, but I wasn't at the time.
Okay.
So I had to rely
on
other websites.
On peasants in Arizona taking care of you.
So we had a friend who moved to Mesa from Seattle, and she was a licensed agent. So we contacted her, and of course, as I mentioned, the house sold and it went off the market. So I kept checking because obviously we were looking for a home. And about 3 days later, I noticed that house came back on the market. It flipped.
Oh.
So I contacted our friend right away and I said, I want to put an offer in on this home now. And we got the ball rolling, and within 24 hours we had mutual.
Awesome.
On a house that we had never seen because we were doing all of this from Seattle.
Oh, really?
So you weren't even here. Okay. Yeah, purchased sight unseen. I mean, I knew I was going to go do the inspection.
Right.
And at that point, I would know whether it was a good home or not. It wasn't just a good home. It was a great home.
And that's the home you're currently in?
Currently in.
Yeah. Right at the 150 marker on number eight.
Yep. So, it all worked out. And, as you asked me, you know, what do I like the most? And yes, pickleball is my passion. But it's funny, I think of Westbrook Village as kind of like a beehive.
Yeah.
right?
Right.
It's everybody's busy, like busy bees there.
Oh, it's amazing.
And we're all making honey, except instead of honey, it's fun.
Right.
We're making fun.
You'll meet someone in the hot tub and you'll see him in a shirt on the street doing something and you won't recognize them. When you meet someone outside of their norm, if they don't have their pickleball hat on the pickleball court, I think I know that guy, but he doesn't have his pickleball gear on. Is it really that guy? And then that's how you first develop relationships, by your different communities inside that community, is how I'm meeting people and developing relationships for sure.
And you know, another thing that I find interesting is most of the communities we've lived in are through our through the last few decades. You just get to know the people adjacent to you, or right. maybe on the other side of the fence behind you. You don't really know people 3, 4, 5 blocks away, 6, 7 blocks away.
Nope.
Not the case at Westbrook.
Nope. It's a small town in a big city is how I look at it. I grew up in a small town. Everybody knows, good or bad, everybody knows your business. Everybody knows your story. Hopefully they know it more now than when they listen to this podcast. But it's when I grew up in the city, when I moved to the cities from a small town, my wife did the same thing. And then when we met, you only knew the people close to you.
Right.
You didn't have a high school history, and you didn't have a history in that town because it was a big city, and you're just meet whoever you happen to come in contact with at work or right next to you.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it's refreshing to come back to a community of 4,000 people, and I feel like I know 100 of them.
Well, you know, and I was just gonna mention, anytime we go over to an event, whether it's a jamboree or team play or, you know, all the different activities and organized functions through our pickleball club, you're right. There's a big group of people and you know them all.
Right.
It's amazing. And they're spread out, peppered out throughout the community. I mean, we have a square mile and another square mile next to that. And within those 2 square miles, we know people at every corner, every edge, next door to us, down the block, around the corner. I don't think I've ever experienced a community like this.
No, it's pretty special. I love it there. I always I feel fortunate that we picked that community. My wife's parents have been going there quite a few years, but because I talked to someone like Skip, who's an engineer type person,
right.
He did the research. I mean, he had charts on what was the best neighborhood for him and Deb to move to. And he picked Westbrook. He did his homework.
Right.
I just
got
lucky.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other interesting thing about Westbrook is there's something for everybody. Here we are talking about pickleball. I mean, that's one club.
How many clubs?
Do you remember how many clubs there are?
I don't know. I want to figure it out. I want to interview everybody, every club leader, because there's so many card clubs. I mean, in the middle of the day, you drive down the street and you see 10 cars at someone's house.
I know.
Oh, they're playing cards.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday my wife took off at, I think it was around 3 o'clock to go line dancing.
That is awesome.
You know, and then she's playing cards, and we know people learning Mahjong, and it's unbelievable.
A woman from California, Patty, she's starting volleyball in the pool.
Right.
So it's going to be, I love that it's an active community. I've probably been the most active in my life living in this community the last 3 years. So it's been great. So we could talk all about, I really wanted to get into the different models because the arrogance of models, because I don't know. I have a Monterey and I don't know if I should be talking to people that have a Camelback. Which model is better? Is there a tier to how good I should feel about my model? I mean, it's kind of fun. It differentiates all of us on what models. Oh, I hate that model. Oh, I love that model. That model's too big. That model's too small. So I want to definitely have a follow-up because I love talking to you and I want to talk more about Westbrook. But that's all the time we really have. We keep her at 30 minutes.
This is so much fun, buddy.
I really appreciate it.
I know.
And I tell you, we are going to have a podcast that's probably going to be a little more crazy, not at 11 o'clock in the morning. But Yeah, it's fun. We'll do one at the pool.
This has been so much fun. This is just the beginning, right?
Right.
And I want to say I really appreciate you putting this together.
I am so happy. I said I was going to do a podcast with you, and you're the first podcast on our show. And, you know, I'm hoping to have the first podcast out in April, and I realized April 8th of last year, I started my class for real estate. I mean, what a year. It's just been fun. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all the support you've given me and all the advice. Maybe not all the advice, but 60% of it.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and it's just it's wonderful to see you going down this path.
Yeah, it's fun.
Great success to you.
Yep. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Meet Your Neighbor podcast. If you enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And feel free to share this podcast with friends and fellow neighbors. Until next time, take care and keep connecting.